This episode of Yes But Why podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/yesbutwhy. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Download your free audiobook today at audibletrial.com/yesbutwhy. Amy Jordan, and this is Yes But Why podcast. Yeah.
Yeah, I really didn't have art or do art when I was young because I grew up in a very, very, very small town. And we didn't have things like that. So I started doing my performing, acting when I moved to New York, because that's what I moved for. And that's when it started.
Oh, but you knew that you were into it. You just didn't have any access to do it yourself. So you moved out of the small town that you were from?
No, I didn't know that I was into it. I just made a decision. It was like, I want to try it and move to New York.
Oh, so like you, so did you just move to New York to be an actor on a whim, or like, did somebody say you have talent, or was it just like the only thing that seemed interesting to do?
Yeah. So I went to school for business.
Oh.
So after my junior year in college, you know, they're like, okay, hey, you're about to be like a real grown up. Like, you got to do something for life. And so I was thinking about what do I want to do in life? And the reason that I went to school for business, I originally wanted to own daycares.
Oh.
Because I love children, but I know I don't want to have any. So I was going to do that. But it was just like super boring for one. I was like, I don't want to live here. And so I was thinking, like, what can I do that would be fun and make a lot of money? And I was like, acting sounds like that would do that, you know, that would serve both of those purposes. So I moved to New York after I graduated college.
What did your business teachers think of that plan? You're like, now that I have this business degree.
it was mainly like the people around me, they didn't think that I was going to do it because like where I'm from, the population is 350 people.
Did they have, like, an article in the paper about you when you moved away and there was, like, a full town party?
Well, not exactly, but every, like, I go back every Christmas and people would be like, you did it. You actually did it. I was like, you thought I was lying? You thought it was a game? Like, no, I was not playing.
Yeah, wow. So you get to New York. What's your first step? Do you know anyone in New York when you get there? Do you have like a plan, or were you like, I'm going to go and I'm going to be discovered?
Well, I had Googled acting schools, and one came up. I forget if it's one in Times Square near that area. And they were like, apply and all this other kind of stuff. Now I know that, you know, that's just, you know, like part of their gimmick of like, apply. Oh yeah, you've been accepted, because I'm sure anyone that can pay the money, they accept.
Sure, yeah.
But it was a good little starter school, I guess, because I had like a little improv class, a little acting class, a little, you know, director, like casting directors would come in, and, you know, it was a good little starter school. I didn't know anything about anything. I didn't have a headshot. Or, you know, I was just like, hey, I'm here.
Yeah. So maybe it didn't get you famous, but it certainly sort of taught you what you needed to do to get moving in the business.
Yeah, it was just it was just somewhere to go to be at least meeting other people and other artists.
Yeah.
And the thing is, that's how I got into improv. is because one of the casting directors would come in class and she would just always be saying that if you want to be an actor, you got to do improv. If you want to be an actor, you got to know how to do improv. I didn't even know what improv was at the time. But I am a person that I will, you know, do what my teacher says. So I went and started doing improv and fell in love and been doing that ever since. So that's kind of how I got even started with improv.
It's funny. I remember when the casting director started saying everybody needed to do improv. And I understand what they mean, but I'm still like, guys, I don't know how many, like, it only helps a handful of people. Like, also, you're losing some of these hardcore actors because they go to improv and they're like, wow, this is better. I'm going to go do this instead.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to be in a play. Like, I don't want to deal with some director yelling at me. I want to do this cool play with my friends and, like, have a fun time. Like, yeah.
Right. That's exactly what happened to me.
Yeah. So when you took your improv classes straight out of this school, where did you go? Like, how did you start? What was your first experience with improv outside of your acting school?
The first one was at the People's Improv Theater.
Ah.
Here in the city. And I also have done UCB, Upright Citizens Brigade, and the Magnet Theater. The Magnet Theater is where I perform now. Hmm. But the Pit was like my first thing because they had an internship. I used to work like a shift every week and get classes like majorly discounted.
Nice.
So, of course, me just moving there in New York, that was like the best option for me.
Absolutely. I did that too.
Yeah. So that was my first introductory my first series of improv classes was at the People's Improv Theater.
What's the, I know it's hard when it's like your experience, but like, since you've gone to other schools, is like, what's the Pitt's improv theory? Like, what's the way they do it? If you had to like describe it, you know how everyone says stuff about UCB about it being game based and real competitive. And I don't know if that's true, but I'm just saying that's what they say. What's the Pit? What do people say? Oh, you're going to learn this at the Pit. What's that?
I would say I think they have just like kind of like a go hard, go fast type of thing and just try to be funny like now, you know, like just make big, bold choices and do it that's the type of what I felt like the energy was when I first went.
Yeah.
Well, not necessarily now that I've done other stuff, I feel like that now, but they're about, you know, just getting in there and being big and bold and doing it.
Yeah. They do lots of character stuff.
If you can pull a big character out and do it and be funny, yeah. Sure.
Right on. Well, I just wondered because you know how like there's some schools where like that's their whole thing, like is to help you create characters and that kind of stuff. So I just wondered if that was their deal. Did you go through the whole program at the Pit before you moved on to the next one? What was the journey for you?
Yes. So at the Pit, I went through the whole program. And then just was there for a while doing the drop in. You know, when you go and you practice, you know, they just put you out with some people and you get up there and you play type things. I did that for a long time. And then from there, I just moved on to start taking classes at the Magnet. And then also at the same time, I was taking classes at UCB as well.
Oh, wow. All at once. Interesting. Right on. That must be, that's like a lot. Like, I'm just trying to think of like putting that kind of information in my brain. Is UCB and Magnet like similar enough in their performance styles that it was okay to do at the same time?
No.
No. Okay. So had your work cut out for you.
Yeah. I feel like they're, you know, the opposite of each other.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's either you go like you immerse yourself or you kind of, I refer to myself as like a class whore. Like I take a class in anything, everywhere, all the time. So I've learned by doing that, taking a lot of classes at a lot of different places for like a lot of different things, is that you take what you need and leave the rest. You know, so I gained stuff from the Pit, I gained stuff from Magna, I gained stuff from UCB. And while I do, you know, surrender to the teacher, you know, like get all the information, but I do know like, okay, you know what, that's not for me, but that is for me. And I take that and I use it.
So you must really like understand your own voice then, if you're able to like really pick and choose the education as it's coming. Cause I'm like, you know, like I'm writing notes as we're talking and it's like, take what you need and leave the rest. It's like, God, I wish I like, I don't know, understood what was happening when I was taking a class enough to be able to do that. Like, I'm always like, let me soak up everything. And then at the end I'll go, wait, I liked this and I didn't like that. But at the time I'm like, everything is true. I'm into everything. Like drinking the Kool-Aid, you know?
Yeah. Well, I've drank enough Kool-Aid though. Don't get it twisted. I've drank my fair share of Kool-Aid, and that's how I've come to be like that. Because when you have someone teaching you and they think they're right, which is, you know, hey, they're teaching a class, so of course they're supposed to think that. But I really developed my voice and my style of play and what feels good when I'm on stage. I had a one person improv show that I did, and I toured all around doing that. And that helped me to grow so much in improv in general, because I did a show all by myself. So I know what works for me. Because I had to do it all.
That's so wild. What got you to do that? Like, what inspired you? Were like, yeah, I get that it's a team sport, but you know what? I'm amazing. I'm going to do this. It's so, like, for me, it's so much. I love having other people around because I'm like, oh, God, if I don't know what I'm doing, I can just be like, what do you think? And then I'm out, you know?
Yeah, so I've seen there was someone at the Magnet Theater, actually, that did a one-person improv show. His name is Ben Jones. And I went to the show, didn't even know what was happening. And I was like, okay, I'll come to your show. And I loved it. And I said, while I was sitting there watching it, I'm going to do one. And that was it. I was like, you know, and so I just started working on it, you know.
Did you write it like it was a bunch of different characters that you were performing, like different character monologues, or was it like stand up, like you as a person or telling stories, or what was the format of it?
Well, it was kind of like a one person Harold, and I, with the introduction and the group game being clowning, I don't know if you're familiar with clowning and the acting aspect.
I mean, but tell me about it.
Yeah. Well, clowning, I think the best way I describe it is just kind of connecting with the audience. So that was another experience of, I had a friend tell me, take this clowning class with me, and signed up for, didn't know what was happening, didn't know what was going on, but I'm like, hey, I'm here, I paid my money. So I dove right in, didn't really feel like, at that time, that I understood it. And then it came back around again. We took the class again and I got better at it, but I still thought it was weird. And, you know, that happened, that class happened, it went. And whenever I was kind of doing my rehearsal for the, I didn't have any idea when I first started working with my coach on the show. I was just like, I want to do one. And he was just like, play around, let's see what happens. And I was kind of fell into doing like different things. And then he was like, okay, well, how can we break it up? Kind of like a Harold. And I was like, oh, this one thing that I've done before did it, and it just worked out. So it just kind of all fell together. And I just worked it out by just putting it up on its feet.
Yeah.
And as far as how the scenes go, I don't do as much of like, oh, I jump around and be this person and jump to be that person. I am my, whatever character I am in that scene, I'm that character throughout. that whole scene, and you know what the other people are saying based off of just my dialogue.
Oh, interesting. Fun.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah. So the show, that's the thing that I think is cool about the show. I mean, maybe everyone thinks the same thing, but maybe it could be a different experience for everybody in the audience because you're using your imagination for the other character's dialogue.
Totally. Oh, that's so fun. That's like when I was recently talking to some people internationally who are doing an improv show where like they do their shows mostly in English, but they do one show where the people are speaking like Dutch or they're speaking, you know, Indonesian to see. And they just do that. The audience has no idea. The audience it's like an English speaking theater, but they do it so that they can then sort of separate language from the performance. And it makes me think of this, like that, you're right. They sort of don't speak the language, as it were, of this silent person. So they have to fill it in with their own imagination, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's super fun. Now, when you did this, you didn't like work on this and then write something down and have sort of a written one person show. You improvised it every time?
Every time.
Whoa. That's a lot. That's super intense. Whoa, wild. Cool. Do you still work with that director? I mean, you guys must be super tight.
Yes. He's also a performer at the Magnet, Rick Andrews. And like we perform together now. So we became super close. In those months of me, you know, like, go in there, you know, being weird for 2 hours. I'm in the room and, you know, him just watching it and being like, okay, let's try that type of thing. Because you have to be very, you know, vulnerable and then also really not care about how you look when you're doing that type of stuff because it's going to be weird or, you know, strange or feeling or whatever, but you got to kind of like dive into that. So, yeah.
Do you like that kind of stuff, the weird sort of avant-garde unusual pathways as far as your performance? Like, is that kind of like, is vulnerability something that you really enjoy in your performance? I mean, improv definitely lends towards that.
Yeah, I think that's where the good improv comes from, is, you know, you being honest, truthful, obviously, but maybe sometimes even uncomfortable and like just sitting in it and not cracking the joke or making the move to like bypass that moment. So yeah, that's to me where it's like the gold is in those moments.
Yeah. I find that people who are open to doing one person shows, like there's something inherently like, I don't know, like avant-garde and like fancy. Like I remember when I was growing up and I thought about moving to New York City and I lived there for a little while, but like I imagined everyone performed in black turtlenecks. Like I just really thought, you know what I mean? Like everyone's smoking on stage. Like it's very serious, you know, and that kind of, and to that end, I love the kind of theater that makes you uncomfortable and like really just makes you upset. Like if I'm watching a movie and I feel sick or I'm angry, I'm like, oh, this is good. This is good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like there have been movies where I'm like, this is making me very uncomfortable. And I'm like, yeah, sit in that. What's that about? Why? Interesting.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, we're performers, so we're like sort of active audience members because we're in the journey. We're like, I'll take it. What are you giving it to me?
Yeah, exactly.
What do you think is your like performance journey? Like, what do you look for? And it could have changed when you first moved to New York. What kind of performer did you want to be? And then sort of second half of the question is, how has that changed over the years?
Well, you know, when I initially moved here, like I had honestly not a clue So in my first classes, when they started asking those questions, I was like, well, hello, the star, obviously, but naturally, hello. And now I would say I don't care about being the star of the show, because I want to be the honest one. I want to be maybe how do you say, kind of like the person that kind of like holds space for people so they can do their weird thing and I just bring reality to it. Mm. I don't know if that sounds weird, but
I'm sure a casting director would have a word for it. They'd be like, oh, that guy.
Yeah. Yeah. But I just want to, I feel like so often, like the main person or the star is like, they just have so much going on. And I'm just like, I just want to be a real like person, just living my life in this movie or this TV show. And like reacting and responding to like the stuff around
me. Yeah. Well, you know what? There is something to be said for like the best background acting. Like now that I've been doing it for so long, that's 100% what I'm looking for when I'm watching a movie or a show. Like I watch the people in the background, like not the lead actor in the front who's having their emotional moment. Like I'm like, see that guy, like two guys over his shoulder, like that's an extra. And that extra is like psyched to be that close to Denzel Washington. And so like he is like super feeling this moment, because like not only is he like an actor and like gets it, but also he's like, I'm in the shot. Like he's in it. Like, you know. Or like when you see, I don't know about you, I mean, you probably do because you're in New York, so you like know half the people that are on television. But like when I see the same guy in two different commercials in a row, or like there'll be a girl and she'll be like, you know, the mom in one like, you know, Dawn commercial, and then all of a sudden she's selling a car, and I'm like, hey, look at you, you're doing it, it's doing good.
Yeah,
like it's like those people are important. You know, I think I love that kind of stuff. Plus, you know, it's sort of like it's the power player in improv to be the person who can like help create the world and create the like comfort. That's definitely the power player. You know, the like wild, wacky. It's like, sure, go ahead, newbie. Yeah. You be wild and wacky. I'm going to make sure everybody really feels like we're here in this French bistro. Like,
right. And that they understand what's going on. And that's what I was, you know, kind of more like, I guess in improv terms would be like,
yeah,
the straight character, you know, like the, would be maybe what I'm trying to say is for like, if I was for film and stuff, like the straight man, straight woman type thing of like a person that's like, just got it grounded, you know?
Yeah.
So we can really dive deep into this thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. Do you, since you've been involved in improv and living in that world, are you still doing other acting? Like, are you acting in plays and commercials and such? Or did you really deep dive focus on improv?
I really deep dive focus on improv. So, you know, I get, you know, calls to come do things. I just, this week was in Seattle shooting a web series, like, you know, like different things, you know, pop up.
Yeah, awesome. With like your friends and stuff, like people call you specifically. You're not like auditioning, but they're like, hey, we want you.
Yes.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's where the work really pays off. Like the more.
Yeah.
Honestly, because improv is, it's not just, I mean, it's a philosophy of performance, which is a wonderful one that makes you feel good on the inside and makes the audience feel like full of power as well. But also like, it's a great community builder, and it really shows you who is going to be good people to work with and not. And that's why when you see people who are like, you know, they'll make a television show and they'll be like, oh, well, I just, you know, pretty much just hired my whole improv troupe and that's who the actors are. And it's like, yeah, because they were connected for a while. They've worked on it. They don't have to like meet for the first time and be like, oh, hi, what's your name? Great, I'll be playing your husband. Like, no, they've got a they've got like a many year relationship that's already there, that's already been developed, you know? So, I mean, I love that too. Honestly, to be quite honest with you, even though I do personally have an agent for commercials, almost, I would say 99% of the work that I actually do is just pals who are out there that are like, oh, hey, man, do you want to do this commercial? And I'm like, yeah, I'll do that commercial. And they're just like,
exactly.
Yeah, we just thought it'd be fun for all of us to hang out. It's like, yeah, that'd be super fun. Yeah, let's do that. Like, but yeah, I mean, improv is one of the best things for, you know, creating sort of a grounded community and then helping you sort of build your career from that, because everyone can go down 1,000 different paths, but you're all still connected. And so then, you know, you can be connecting with people. Like, in fact, that's one of the things I like about this podcast that I do, is I'll call people that I haven't talked to in like 8-10 years, but we did improv together, and I'll be like, how do you do this thing that you're doing now? And you know, it's like, because we had that relationship, you know, they can be open with me and share like what the journey's like and what they've learned, and I'm like, how do you get a job like that? And then they tell me, you know.
Well, yeah. Improv is the best thing for creating rapport. Mm-hmm. Breaking down those walls and barriers. So I also have started my own company called Empower Improv and Coaching, mm-hmm. where I go into businesses and, you know, for corporate, and do improv workshop sessions with them to help them, you know, like, you know, some business people in office, you know, mm-hmm. hey, loosen your tie.
They
you're
need
gonna
it.
Get up. You're gonna be wacky for like an hour, you know, and get to know who this person that you sit across from this desk 40 hours a week really is. And he's not the person that's like, oh, how is the weather doing? you know, yeah. And how's your wife and the game? You know, like, you're really gonna peek into someone's personality when you get them up, moving around, like loose and having fun.
You know, New York City's such an intense place. The corporate environment must be like gridlock. How do you break them down? I mean, do you get a lot of people really enjoying themselves? Do you hit a lot of walls? How's that experience been?
No, I mean, people love it because, you know, like, whenever you go into an environment like that, some people are like, of course you're going to have people like, okay, what is this? What is this silliness? You know? But 2 minutes in, they're laughing and having fun. Like, literally 2 minutes in. Like, when that first laugh hits, because somebody's done something silly from the first game, like, the barriers just fall to the floor, and they're having a good time.
Man.
So my experience has been lovely with doing it, you know, because the people that don't have fun, then that's just, you know, some people are just grouchy and, you know, yeah. You do what you can. You know,
yeah, you bring
can't save them all. But I brought it. People had fun. We had a good time. So it's great.
Yeah, man. That must be super awesome. Have you had any particular experiences that have been, you know, unusual or particularly heartwarming? Any particular groups that you bonded with?
I did a workshop at like a doctor's office.
Yeah.
It was a small group, and it was, you know, kind of like, I didn't feel the energy. The manager that hired me was like, oh, everyone was terrified as we're walking down like the stairs to go to the room to to do the workshop. And I was like, oh, I was, you know, it was all good, you know, for me. But she was saying like how they were like so scared and nervous and all that type of stuff. And she was like, but they've been talking about it for like 2 weeks. You know, like after the workshop was over, she was like, they won't quit talking about like how much fun they had. And that made me feel good. Not because I'm like, oh yeah, I put on an amazing workshop, but like, that's it. Y'all are talking with each other and having fun and like talking about that laugh and that crazy thing that such and such did 2 weeks ago. That's the whole point.
Yeah, that's it. Totally. It's so hard in this world that we have too, now that there's, you know, so much keeping us separate, you know, with looking at your phones and computers and, you know, we talk on the internet and think that we're connecting, but, you know, if we're not physically in the same room with each other, experiencing what's going on, we're not connected. So it's nice that you give these people this opportunity to let down, you know, the barriers and let them actually become friends so that work isn't like terrible.
Right. Because you're there. And that was the thing that I love most about it, because, you know, most people at work most of the time, you know, you're there 40 hours a week and then you go home and you pass out. Right. So it should be fun there. It should be with people you enjoy being around, but you don't have that if you don't know who that person is, you know?
Yeah, totally.
So that's where the improv comes in. So like just helping people get to know one another.
What made you want to share the improv joy? I mean, I know it's super fun to perform on stage, but to like, you know, both to teach it to, you know, people who are interested to perform it and to teach it to, you know, corporate groups, it's a hard road. What made you decide to be the teacher?
Just wanting to do my art, wanted to do the art of improv even more. That's where it came from, you know, like, and I didn't know what kind of journey this would be. It was much harder than I anticipated.
Sure.
But I'm still going because I know that, you know, from like that experience that I just told you about and other experiences like that, I was like, I wouldn't not do it now because it's so rewarding after you know, like hear stuff like that. I was like, oh, now these two people are cool because they had this, you know, workshop or whatever. I was like, oh man, this is great. So it's just fun. And just me wanting to do my art as much as I can.
Now, do you feel like you have a particular teaching style? Like, are you working on a particular, you know how like, I don't know. I'm sure some of these teachers that we like read books about now and we're doing this person's method probably didn't think of it this way, but like, you know, you seem so self-assured when it comes to like your performance style. Do you have a specific teaching style that you're bringing to your workshops with any, you know, sort of signature exercises or points of view that you're bringing without giving away any proprietary information?
No, well, I mean, it's different from corporate than when I, you know, coach a team, because a team, I'm trying to, you know, guide them to do the best performance better. And then corporate, I am literally there just to open them up and connection and to help them get maybe like a specific skill, you know, maybe they're working on presentation or thinking quick on their feet, you know, depending on the industry. But as far as me being what I bring to the table as a coach, I just think being honest with the with whoever I'm coaching, and I'm talking more like performance now, being honest but yet kind. I feel like sometimes people, you know, this art of improv is not that old of a thing.
Yeah.
So you have like the people that are, you know, big and up there and, you know, like the kind of, I guess, maybe guru status. And sometimes I feel like when they give notes, it is, how can I say, like, some people get in like, okay, I know so much about it. I don't know that they're giving notes from like the best place. And what I mean by that is like, there are so many people doing improv. There are more and more types and different types of people doing improv. And sometimes I don't feel like the person that's giving the note, even though they're experienced in improv, like people have different life experiences. And I don't, I don't know that their life experience. Are you giving me this note because it's a good technical note like improv, or you just don't understand what I'm talking about because we come from two different places? So I just try to stay open to be like, okay, I want to guide you and be honest with you, take you to the best place performance-wise as you can go, but not putting the limitations of Shakota on your performance.
Yeah, totally. When I was teaching, I teach a lot of level ones, and I like that because I like, you know, I like newbies. I like to like get them in on it and be like, oh, you're gonna do it forever now. But when I, you know, a lot of people are nervous about the acting bit. They're like, oh, I don't know how to act. So, you know, you're just going to have to like accept that I'm not going to be any good at that stuff. I'm like, okay, great. Okay. But or my favorite is when they go, oh, I don't feel emotions. I'm like, okay, great. Yeah. Well, let's do this then. And so I make them do monologues, building on a certain emotion, and we like talk for a little while, like to ourselves, to the wall. And then I'll be like, how does your body feel? Like, you know, say like anger, for instance, it's like, how does your body feel after yelling at the wall about the traffic? You know, oh, your jaw's tight. Oh, okay. Your fist, you've been holding your fists together. So they feel, you know, kind of raw from being held together. I'll go, great. That's your personal physical cues for anger now. When you're on stage, you're going to do that. You're going to clench your jaw and hold your fists together. And that's you showing us that you're angry. And some people do it differently. Like some people stamp around or yell, or some people just get real tight and like, you know, turn red. Everybody's different, and it's fine to be different. It's just you need to find your way of expressing it and make sure that your teammates know what that is, because at the end of the day, regardless of how I personally am performing, it's how the whole group comes together that creates the sort of beauty of the performance. It's not just me, it's the whole group.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, anybody that says they don't feel emotion is, I'm like, you're a crazy person ready to happen. Because we all have, you might not be tuned into it, but it's there, baby.
Yeah, yeah.
So I love that you take them through that so they can kind of just get present to what's going on in their body, in their mind.
Yeah.
That's great.
Well, I feel like there's a lot of that. Like, I feel like for me, that's the beginning of getting people ready to do improv. It's kind of like, let's pretend everyone's nice to each other. Okay, cool. Now that we're pretending that, now we're going to be really nice to each other in a performance setting. Yes, and, you know, the accepting of any idea, no matter what it is deeply kind, especially if maybe the people who you're working with don't have the same kind of imagination you do. So they say something and you're like, that doesn't make any sense to me. Doesn't matter. Just do it. Just do it.
Right.
Like, jump in.
Do you have a lot of people saying that, like, oh, I'm not funny and I can't be funny? Do you have... Like, oh, as sure. You said it about the acting. Yeah, like, when people say that, I'm like, to me, everyone's funny. The only people that are not funny are the people that are trying to be funny.
Yeah.
Those are literally not the only not funny people. I'm like, you might not be aware of your... And I think it's the same thing about what you're saying about the anger. Like, oh, do you clench your fist or, you know, whatever? It's like, things that you may not consider funny... Because you're not seeing your facial expression or your mannerism.
Yeah.
But everyone's a character, you know?
Right.
And I guarantee you that someone in the audience is going to be like, oh, that's a funny way that this person's holding their hand or, you know, walking or whatever. It's going to be funny or amusing to someone. But you're in it. So it's hard to kind of like maybe assess yourself if you're not a performer, you know, on that. But I'm like, just relax. You'll be funny. Just be honest. That's how you be funny.
Well, part of it too is like everybody in the audience is just impressed you're doing it. So like, don't like for your, especially at your level one, like showcase show at the end of your level one class, people are just like amazed you're speaking. So like, just relax on that. Like, no one's expecting you to walk out and it to be like, you know, the first episode of Saturday Night Live. Like, that's not what it is. They're just excited that you speak and say words and that no one cried and that, you know, at the end you're smiling. Like, that's all your friends and the audience members of an improv show want to have happen.
Yeah.
Like, it's a pleasant crowd for sure. An improv crowd is like supportive to begin with. And then they're like, oh, look at them. They're doing it. I was like, so just speak and you've won. Like, that's it.
That's a good way to look at it.
And as far as comedy, I think I've started, I teach like a writing course, and I've realized that I personally rely super heavily on format when I do like writing and stuff. And I think it's because I think that comedy is variable based on the person. There are lots of different things that are funny. Like if I say one thing, it might be like, oh, Amy, you can't say that. That's not funny. But somebody else says it and it's like, oh, wait, they found the right way to say certain things. Like, and it's really just a matter of like finding your perspective in the world and reflecting on it in a way that, you know, connects with one or two people in the audience. I mean, like you were saying earlier, there's lots of different people with different perspectives, but I think that the essence of most human experience is can be broken down to like, you know, basic emotions, happy, sad, embarrassed, you know, these kinds of things. So that's how we can connect, that comedy is what helps us to connect. Even if it's like, man, I don't understand what it's like to live in that place, but when he fell over that, you know, chair, it was great because it's funny. And, you know, I've also tripped over chairs and God, I ripped my chin and, you know, like everybody's got something to connect to in that scenario. Plus, you know, just the basic three beat stuff that like, you know, tricks the brain.
Yeah. Yeah. That we watch all the time. And yeah. And it just, yeah.
What are you working on right now? What is your, like, what's the current jam in your brain? Like, what are you thinking about performance-wise? What are you thinking about teacher-wise? What's the sort of, like, you know, theory or whatever that's rolling around your head right now?
The theory?
Yeah, like, when I'm teaching, I, you know, I'm teaching the same thing over and over. So like, I'll have something that I'm kind of focused on or something that I'm thinking about. Is there anything that you're in your teaching or in your coaching that you're like really focusing on with your students or like a style or exercise or something that's really getting, you know, good work from your people?
I think right now, if I had to say anything, it would just doubling down on those, making things simple. You know, in an improv show, things can get complicated real quick. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of ideas, a lot of characters, a lot of people are, oh, I want to throw this one there. And how can we just take what we have and drill down on that and like mine for gold in this one spot instead of like digging a lot of little holes everywhere? So I think that's kind of like the theme. As I'm coaching now, it's just being like, you know what? You have enough. Mm-hmm. Just be in this moment with this other person and live and be honest right now. And that's all you need, you know?
Yeah.
Improvisers, they be working too hard a lot of the time. Way too hard up there.
So many details.
You're doing way too much.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, you don't need all that. You just need to be honest and work with what you got. And even if you think it's nothing, again, with that being vulnerable, being comfortable, being uncomfortable, like just feel that out, you know?
Yeah. Do you have any shows coming up or like, are you performing your one person show again on another tour or do you have a different show that you're working on for the future?
So, I perform at the Magnet Theater on Saturdays at 7:30 and it's called the Mondo Diaz Experience. So, you know, Saturday show where we have a monologist come up and tell stories and we improvise off of the stories. So that's the weekly show I'm doing now.
The original Armando with the actual Armando Diaz's theater. You're right there in the real thing. That's historical.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're like connected. Have you been taught by Armando Diaz himself?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. You say it so offhandedly, yes. But for me, it's like, wow, that's exciting.
Yes. Love him. He's a great teacher. I learned a lot from his teaching style because he is so incredibly patient and understanding. So kind of that what I was saying about like me not putting too much of Chicota on it. I feel like I just by watching him coach and teach, you know, he really just like wants to let people be themselves, which is so important. So that would be like something I feel like I, you know, took from like watching him just, you know, being in classes with him and watching him coach and teach and things like that.
Yeah. That's so awesome. It's just so exciting. You know, that you mentioned earlier, you know, improv is still a young art, and it's true. Like, it's great even now that we are able to connect with some of the people that were at the forefront of like creating the art, or that like were the like, yeah, I was in the first class with this person. It's like, tell me everything they told you, you know, like there are a lot of, there's a couple of solid gurus in the improv history and, you know, people who started major theaters and you're like, well, everything they say is, you know, gold, clearly. And it's interesting to that people are still connected to them. Like, I forget that it's like, you know, a few of them are gone, but not all of them. So it's like, wow, I love that you worked with, you know, that you're working directly with Armando Diaz, like improv royalty for sure. When you are doing your Empower Improv work, how has been running the business? I know that it can be tough for most of us to run a business and it be a creative one, largely, you know, because people don't appreciate it as well as much, but you probably have an upper hand on that because you have a business degree. So like how has it been running the corporate improv business?
Well, it still has its challenges. That, you know, that's kind of like the balance that I've kind of been trying to strike up, because I've been going pretty hard in the business for like the last year. And it's been, you know, you have successes and then you have, you know, like times where I'm not feeling so great about it. But I, you know, still keep going. And so now, what I'm starting to do, like I said, I just was in a, you know, web series, like even doing this podcast with you, I'm trying to get more back into my art. Cause I think I kind of just went into like the business mode full force.
Yeah.
Like 100%. And, I'm learning that my life is just better if I'm doing my art, you know, even though I still do the weekly show at the Magnet, I need to do more to kind of keep that balance of happiness for myself, you know, because in the business that I'm doing, I get to do the art when I'm coaching or teaching, you know, I have a workshop to teach, but it's a lot of work to get that workshop right. So I gotta just find that balance for myself. So that's kind of just what I'm, you know, like working on doing more now.
Are you, are you like finding a new troupe to work with? Are you like trying to develop something new? Is that how, are you like writing? What's your new creative thing to get you back into it?
I'm not 100% sure, but my next thing I will be doing something with me, you know, something, some type of web series, or not necessarily web series, but something me on camera doing something that I'm doing, you know, because that's the thing is, I just got to create something, you know, I gotta do it and put it out just to get that energy flowing. So that's what I'm talking around in my mind now, these last couple of days, is like, oh, what would I want to do?
Yeah, well, that's the beauty of it when you let yourself kind of just find it. Like, and I feel like that's a wonderful thing that, like, once you get into the improv world, like, you're sort of, like, accepting of the larger picture of it. Because, like, you know, we've all done an improv show where, like, you perform for 30 minutes and turns out it was terrible the whole way through. But that doesn't make that show less than, you know, it's just that's that one show. But like cumulatively out of every show that you've ever done over say a year or whatever, you probably, you know, have a higher percentage of things going well. But so because of that, I feel like, you know, artists who have improv in their background are a little bit more temperate when it comes to like creating projects, because they're like, well, let's see, I'll try a few things. You know, like a lot of people are like afraid to try something and then like kind of let it go if it doesn't work out. Whereas I feel like since I started doing improv, I'm a lot more forgiving of myself if I like start something and I'm like, this just isn't, you know, making me excited. And I'll be like, okay, I'll go on to the next thing. And I'm not like deeply upset that I left it. I'm like, oh, I never finished that novel. It's like, okay, but that wasn't what you were needed to do at the time, you know? Yeah, you got to just feel it out.
So that's one of the things you're talking about, being in the improv world. When I was actually coming back from Seattle and I was talking to one of my improv friends, and I'm telling him the idea, and he's like, okay, yo, let's shoot it. Let's meet this week. And I'm like, wait, what? let's make it happen. So a couple of ideas. I got my phone, you know, because we're just like used to getting up, doing a show, and going out afterwards, having a drink. It's like, leave all that pressure and all that other, you know, you can get caught up in the things that are important. They could be important, you know, like lighting and all this kind of stuff. But is it important to, if you make it too important, you don't get anything done. You don't put anything out. So that's where I am like trying to be in that. Okay, doing good work, obviously good quality work, but getting it done and getting it out, you know, putting it into the world.
Can't do anything if people don't see it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like excited. Like that kind of energy, you know, feels good of like, hey, I don't even know what's happening. I mean, and that's what happened with my one person improv show. You know, I didn't know what was going on. But I was like, gonna do this thing. Clowning, sure, we'll do that. And one thing leads to another. And then there you go.
Yeah.
And that was like one of the best experiences of my life, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I'm just super impressed. Not only that you like involved the clowning in your one person show, but that you like went and took that class multiple times because you're like, yeah, I don't think I got it. Let me try that again. It's like, what? I know so many people would be like, I didn't get it. I'm not doing that. And you're like, no, let me try one more time. It's like, ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Conquer it.
Well, that's the thing. And that's why I do say like earlier when I said like, oh, about take what you need and leave the rest. Mm-hmm. Like that class, I didn't understand what was going on. I didn't know what was going on, but I was like, I am going to soak it all up, you know? Mm-hmm. And again, I think, you know, take what I want, take what I need, take what's for me. So when I say cloudy, like I'm sure maybe like if a real true person, a clown, you know, saw me, they were like, what the hell?
Sure.
Yeah, right? But I'm like, no, this is clown. Like, this is it. This is what I took from it, and it feels so good to do.
Yeah.
It's mine, you know?
Yeah.
And this is my art, so I control it. So this is what you're looking at.
Yeah. So you're in a new place trying to find some new creative thing. You seem like you're a fountain of so many creative ideas. Like, do you ever hit a wall, or, you know, if you hit a creative wall, you know, you're having a hard time, how do you get through that? Or how do you coach your students through that?
I mean, the thing is, it's just by, you know, action, I think is like the thing that gets you out of it. But finding something that feels good. So how you were saying, like, oh, this novel doesn't feel good. Put it down and, like, move on to the next.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, I'm coaching, you know, kind of maybe, like, a team is, like, hung up on this form or doing this or doing that. And I'm like, look, guys, it's not working out. You know what I mean? Not in a bad way, but in a way of, like, don't force it if it's not there. Let's try something else that... And again, just kind of like how I found my one person show is like, get up and let's do something, because art comes from the unknown of like, oh, well, we just made this thing up or this thing just happened, right? And it's not sitting there thinking, you know, like, what show am I going to do? Get up and do a show and see what happens. And you're going to be inspired, even if it's from a character or the format of the show or whatever that is, you will get something. But it's, you got to be up on your feet doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to be doing it. I love it.
You know?
Now I'm like soaking it in. I'm like, yes, yes.
And know when something feels fun. So that's how I feel like I found my voice, or like what feels good for involved for me, because I'm not going to get up and do something that I don't feel good about.
Yeah.
Because if I don't feel good about performing it, the audience doesn't feel good about watching it. And that's just that. You know, you're not creating magic out of like something that's excruciating and uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm like, just do something and find the thing until it, fill it out until it feels good. And then, okay, now we're moving in the right direction.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think also to your point of what you're talking about, where you're working with your groups, like, if you, and I'm talking to the audience here, if you guys are trying to do something creative and you're hitting a wall, you know, getting a coach to help get you through it is an excellent way to do it. Like, sometimes we need each other. And that's the beauty of the improv world, is that there's so many of us that we can all help each other. So, like, if you're like, I don't know what to do, just find a new person to have a different perspective on what you're doing. And it could really open the whole thing up. I mean, you never know.
And I also encourage, especially improvisers. I mean, there's people in the world, but especially improvisers. Mm-hmm. Someone that we just get up there, we have to make a whole life of someone on the freaking spot. You're only going to be able to do that if you know other people than you and your mom and your dad and your little sister. You know? Like, you have to have experiences to be good at improv.
Yeah.
You have to live in the world. So getting out there, like, you got to live in the world. Like, go do stuff. You know, if you don't have a lot of money, fantastic. Go find something free to do. Or go walk in the park, or go talk to a freaking stranger, for Christ's sake. Something that's free, but you got to break out of like your view of what is in the world and what's going on to have like these new sparks of, you know, things that could like be your new show or, you know, your new perspective. But you only get that by going out into the world.
You know what? You make an excellent point too, because I was just thinking this just the other day, like, we're artists, right? So our job, like, when tough times happen, people say the art gets better, and it's because art is a reflection of whatever's going on in the world. But that means that you as an artist has to be able to receive in what's going on in the world and to be able to digest it out into something that can help, right? So like, there, a lot of people are like, oh, it's super tough. Like, how am I going to do this kind of thing? And it's like, you need to see, you need to create, actors create empathy. Like, when we're playing characters that are not like us, we're creating empathy for a person that we are not like, right? So like, even dumb comedy characters who are like, that guy is going to keep sticking his hand in that boiling water over and over, and that's just going to keep happening. If the audience doesn't care about that guy before he sticks his hand in the boiling water the first time, then it's not going to matter. They're just going to be like, that guy's an idiot. Of course he stuck his hand in there. But if they're like, oh no, Paul just burnt his hand, how's he going to do the thing he needs to do? You know, like, building that kind of thing, letting the audience understand it. And even like, as far as like exploring for any sort of artistic stuff, there are a lot of people in the world that I can guarantee we all disagree with. Wouldn't it be interesting to like read them and try to be like, what are they thinking? Like, the number one thing, I try not to get mad about politics. I just try to go, what is in it for them? Like, how can I understand it from their point of view? What do they need and what's happening? You know what I mean? Like, because that's kind of how people are. So I think of that when I create characters too. Like, what's the essence? Are they just sad? Like, are they acting this way because their other people were mean to them? And so now they're like, nobody will be mean to me again if I'm the meanest guy around. Okay. That's just how people are sometimes. Like, how do we get to the essence of that? Like, I feel like empathy is such a big deal when it comes to being a performer, and that can really help when it comes to like creating more authentic, deep characters that are vulnerable on stage.
Yeah. Yeah, you're 100% right. But it, like the empathy, yes, I love that, that point that you just made about that, because to me, that's what, whenever you're doing a show, like that's the whole point. Someone is, you know, they're not going to be mad at who's on stage or be angry. They're going to relate.
Yeah,
right?
Relating.
And even if that's, and even if that person is a different color, different gender, you know, like all the differences, it's something in there in that character that that person gets, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's what we're always going to do when we watch movies, when we watch plays, and we're trying to connect. It's like, oh, I'm just like him. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm just like her. I've been through something similar to this. Like, that's what we do with every story we're told.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what it's about.
Totally.
But you gotta know people to do that.
Absolutely. And having the improv community and the people around you really allow you to be able to explore these kinds of topics because you have these people that you're working with. So your main spot now is Magnet, huh? That's where you're doing your shows. That's where you sort of like, you know, coach troops and stuff like that. So it's where people can find you.
Yes.
Awesome. Awesome. And you're also still teaching. If you're listening to this and you're a business person and you're like, I would love to have Shakotha come teach improv, that's Empower Improv with an I, I-M-P-O-W-E-R, Empower Improv, and she can come to your office and make you guys suddenly happy.
Yes. And for shenanigans, you can follow me on my Instagram, which is just my first name, Shakotha, so at Shakotha. S-H-A-C-O-T-T-H-A.
I'll make sure to add that Instagram link. People love the Instagram. Thank you so much for chatting with me and taking time out of your day to tell your story and to share your point of view when it comes to teaching and performing improv. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I had a great time. This was fun.
Oh, good. Awesome. And congrats with everything that's going on with the business. I'm glad everything's going awesome. And I'm looking forward to seeing what exciting new creative thing that you're going to be working on. You know, honestly, by the time this post comes out, I bet you'll have something. You'll be working on it. It'll be almost forming.
Thanks for listening to Yes But Why Podcast. Check out all our episodes on yesbutwhypodcast.com or check out all the content on our network, HC Universal, at hcuniversalnetwork.com.